Well, Chav Tes, I want to Aleph at the top of the page. Hamedal Noiser Menhan Mashir Al Mashashir. So when you thin out a patch of onions or whatever you're thinning out over here, so the stuff that you thin out is it goes li'ibud. So the rule is you only have to give payah on what's left. Tani Amar Yehuda Lamed Ramor Mamedal Ashok. This is when the removed produce that you took out is you take it to market. The idea here is that you want to try to salvage whatever you can from this excess growth. You want the remaining onions, of course, to grow large. That's the main function of taking out the middle onions, but you don't want it to go completely ibud. So you bring it to market. So that's where you're potter from taking payah from these, okay, that you've took out from between the excess. If you're going to take the excess and take it home, so then it has already a chashivas. So you're going to store them. So now you simply have a shur alcohol. Then you have to get payah for everything, including the stuff that was removed. Okay, so it says in footnote 2 that since he keeps the produce of the extra plants, so it comes out he plucked them not just for the sake of letting the remaining plants grow larger, but also for their own sake. In other words, bringing it home is a raya that he's maksh of them. Right? Had the extra plants not been available, he would have had to reap others, whatever would have been available. So that's considered ktsira. However, what's the difference if you take it to shuk? But he says when he sells the extra produce, then it's only for the sake of salvaging whatever small value it has. So then that's exempt from payah. Okay, that's the pshat over here. Amrab Zera, Hadad the Tema B'she'iva Almanas Lahadel. That's when you originally overplanted. And in other words, when you threw the seeds into the ground, you knew you were putting in too much seed that it would be too crowded. But you intended to pull out the excess later. Avalam Iva Almanas Shalo Lahadel. If you intended to leave it as is, you were on purpose planting them close together, and then you changed your mind after they started to grow. You decided, you know what, I don't want to let them stay together. I want to start taking out the middle ones. Lo sof davar lebeso. Then not only is it true they have to pay for everything if you take it home, but even I feel a little shook. Even if you ended up taking the middle ones to the marketplace, nice in minhamer shor al hakol. Then you have to take it on the entire field, regardless whether you take it to market or whether you take it home. So this is a very, I found this to be a very difficult halacha, because I don't know if you remember previously, we always went basar the sof machshava. We had a din that if you were making garen echad, you were going to pick one garen. And then you change your mind, you decide, you know what, I'm not going to do this one garen. I'm going to do it two garenas. Remember, it was two species of wheat. You had dark wheat and white wheat. And they were growing together in a field. So we said, when you started cutting the dark wheat, you had in mind to cut it all as one entity, so then you have to take only one payah, because they're all in the subclass, they're all subclasses of wheat. But if you go ahead and you change your mind in the middle and you decide, you know what, I'm going to make it two garnas. I'm going to take the dark wheat first, and then I'm going to do the white wheat second. In that case, you have to give two payas, one for the dark, one for the white. We always go bust of the sof machshava over there. The sof machshava. Over here, we're going bust of the tchilas machshava. So that's very interesting to note that, you know, when you see it, when you see they're not sticking to a pattern, that requires, you have to think about that. What?
So you're chilek though. So you're talking about the sof machshava. are the sof of the process
of the goren.
That's at the harvest. Correct. In this case of tchila is at the tchila of the process where he had kavana when he originally planted. So it's
that's correct.
Tchila, tchila, sof, sof.
I'm saying, why don't you go watch the sof over here too?
It's not the sof of the process. It's the tchila of the process. It's
two dimensional.
I'm not following what you mean. What do you mean? What's the process? What's the process?
Because he had intention to.
I understand that one's an earlier process than the other, but I'm just saying in terms of klolei of what's the ikker? Is the ikker the sof machshava or the tchilas machshava? That's the way I look at it. It's like a general klal. It's not. It's how you look at everything. Do you go busser? Like you know, by when a person says, what do you say? You say this is tmuras ola, tmuras shlomim, right? You have one animal, and you say tmuras ola, tmuras shlomim. So you couldn't. Do you say gavasa tchilas machshava or sof machshava? So, you know that kind of thing. It's like a general rule.
Time.
What?
That's happening at the same time. You know, toch kedei dibor. This is it's like
both cases over here by payar. Okay, I don't know. I don't understand what the difference is. Okay, fine. Just something to think about. If you're satisfied with that answer, fine. Then you're good. Very good. Okay, halacha gimel. Ha'imahos shal betzolam chayavos bepeya. So these are called mother onions, and the purpose of these mother onions is to produce seed for planting further onions. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Poiter, Rabbi Yossi holds your putter. What?
Is there such a thing as father onions?
No, only mother onions.
You say it all the time, mother of all bombs.
Right, right. So we just started Halacha Gimel on 29A1. So if you have mother onions that are chayav and peya, they are chayav and peya. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Poiter, Rabbi Yossi holds, no, they're not chayav and peya, because he holds that, we're going to see exactly what's going on over here. Let's hold off for a second. No b'nai sabit solom shabin hayarek. Now, let's suppose you have plots of onions which are between rows of other vegetables, which would be a rare thing to plant vegetables near onions, because onions really cause, like we mentioned earlier, the roots and get in the way of other vegetables. It's not the usual thing. So the question is, how do you look at it? Do you look at it that it's considered a divider? That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says, peya mikolachad v'yachad. You have to take peya from each plot of onions separately because they're divided by the vegetables. And the Chachamim say, no, since vegetables are themselves not chayav and peya, because like we said, vegetables are excluded, so me'achal ha'kol, it's considered, you take one peya for all of the onions. You ignore the breaks, right? That's basically the idea. It says in the footnote 11, okay, the Tanakhama holds, it's not unusual for one to plant onions among vegetables. The vegetables can be seen as an integral part of the field, which does not constitute a barrier, and therefore you would have to give, therefore you would give one pay on everything. Okay, next, Gemara. Rav Amar Purgara, Shmuel Amar Tsumachta. This is a question of what's a mother onion? So one says it's a seed onion. Rav says it's a seed onion. Shmuel says it's a growth onion. What is a growth onion? What's a seed onion? I don't know. Let's see over here on the footnotes what it says. Number 12. It says, large onions left in the ground to produce seeds. It depletes the onions and results in them becoming barely edible. After you remove the seeds from the onions, the owner decides to pluck them from the ground. Now, do they require peya? In other words, once you pluck them out of the ground, do they require peya? Rabbi Yossi exempts the seed onions from peya because they're not fit to be eaten, except the shas hadchak. And the Chacham say, no, even that degree of edibility is enough to be considered fruit, so therefore they're obligated in Peah. So the first pshat, Rav Amar Progora, so he explains what the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham is. It's a question of whether Achila Idei Adchak is considered or not considered an Oichel. So the Chacham are going to say it is considered an Oichel. Rabbi Yossi is going to say it's not considered an Oichel. And the second pshat, which was what? Growth, 13. When you harvest onions, the roots are left in the ground. Part of the onion itself is often attached to the root. So from these remnants that are left in the ground, so it's possible that new onions may grow. So if you have a lot of onions, you won't bother with it because it's inferior quality. But if you're short on the onions, then you would harvest them. So what's the machlokas? So what's the machlokas? He's not masber what the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about in this case. I guess it's a question of do you go, the Chacham are going to say, since the person who has a small number of onions would keep them, so therefore we consider that type of person in our cheshbon of deciding whether this is considered a ktsira, and therefore they are shaykh to peah. And Rabbi Yossi holds no, since most people who have an adequate supply aren't going to bother with them, so therefore it's not considered chashuv. Okay, that's the machlokes between these two. Rabbi Yaakov bar Bon b'shem Rabbi Chanina, then Rabbi Yossi elam b'shem hefker. So now he says that the reason why Rabbi Yossi holds in other words, he's explaining Shmuel, I think, right? I do believe that's what they say. 14. Yeah, this reason is only necessary according to Shmuel. So although he's giving a reason, this reason is only necessary because according to Rav, we've said why it's pater already. We don't have to explain it just because it's being used for seeds. So why, according to Shmuel's pshat, is it pater from peah? The answer is because it's like hefker. So he has no interest in these new growths, so they're like ownerless. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rabbon barchia boi kumli rabmano, the hefker chayba peah. On the Chacham, I'm going to argue on Rabbi Yossi and say that hefker is chayba peah. Of course, that can't be. Right? We know it's beferish that hefker is pater from peah. Amalei b'zocha b'hen achas. The Mishnah is talking about you reacquired these onions one by one. So that's enough to them consider them subject to peah. According to Rabbi Yossi, they remain exempt. 17. You pluck the new growths, otherwise he would not be obligated. So let's see, one second. Yeah. So he brings over here from Gemara, Nedarim 44a, that if you owned a field and then you were mafkir the field, and then you were chayzer v'zeicha in the field, so it says in that brisa, Nedarim, that you're chayv and peah, even though you were mafkir. But since you were the original owner, it's like we're not going to allow you to use that as a way to get pater from peah. So the issue is, do we paskin like that Mishnah or not? That'll be the machlokes, or Chacham hold like that Mishnah at that brisa. And Rabbi Yossi does not hold like the brisa. I'm not that familiar with the brisa. So v'hatani afal pisha ena miskaima slo b'meruba, that even though they're not kept by the owner when he has many onions, miskaima s'mamut, but they are kept if he has a few onions. So you see that the issue really is that the Chachamim hold that since there are some people who keep these mother onions, so it's subject to pay in all cases. So it doesn't have anything to do with Hefker. That's basically the question, I think. Right. So that's nothing to do with hefker. That's the question. Okay. How about time law? The law from page 2, Chof Tesson base, have a less time law, the law, so Rabbi Yossi has no reason to exempt mother onions except Mishum Machni Solakim, that he's going to bring it, is he going to keep it or not? So the Chacham hold the mother onions are subject to payah, because sometimes they're kept, and Rabbi Yossi holds not like that. So basically, what does it say here? The Gemara has thus refuted the previous explanation that Rabbi Yossi exempts mother onions because they're hefgar. Rather, it's because they're not stored. That's the ikar machlokas. All right. So this is just the Gemara is basically just going back and forth. What's the background behind the machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, whether mother onions are pater from peyah or chayiv and peyah? Rabbi Yossi holds the pater from peyah. And we're coming out that the reason is because he holds the not machnis them for kiyum, and the chacham hold they are machnis them for kiyum in certain circumstances, and therefore they're chayiv and peyah. We'll leave it at that. Now, halacha dalet, ha'achem shocholku. Yeah, you have to halk up over here. This is going to be a little complicated. Okay? Ha'achem shocholku. You have two brothers that had an inheritance. Right? They inherited, their father died. He left them over a field. Then they divided the field. So you have, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has his half of the field growing his stuff. Shimon has his half of the field growing his stuff. So nois ninshnei payas. They have to give two payas because they're two different owners. You can't give from one owner and another owner. Now what happens? Chozuf v'nishtatvu. Let's suppose they re-partnered up again. They decided, you know what? Maybe it's better to work together. They finally got over the fighting over the Yerusha, like this commonly happens, right? They became friends again. So now they're shutfim again. So then again, nice and payachas, they can give one pay on the whole field, because since they're shutfim in the whole field, obviously they can give one pay for the whole field. Now it gets a little more complicated. Now, one second. This first is a big chiddush here in the next case. But listen closely of how the Mishnah changed the case. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about Yerusha, where two brothers divided up and then reestablished their shutfas. Now we're going to talk about two people that bought a tree together. Shnayim shalochu ha'se'ilon. You and I decide we're going to get together. We're going to join forces. I'm going to give $50. You're going to give $50. And we're going to buy a tree together.
A tree in Israel.
Right. Torah schools for Israel. Trees for Israel. And we buy a tree. So then, nois in peah achas. We give one peah because we're both partners in the tree. But let's suppose we didn't buy the tree together, Joey. Yeah. I bought on the south side. I say, we'll buy the tree, but I don't want to be a partner with you because you don't.
Likewise, I don't want to be a partner with you.
And you don't want to be a partner with me. But we only have enough money to buy one tree, so it's a Beit Shemesh tree, Marat Beit Shemesh tree, so it's a very expensive tree. So I'm gonna buy the north side, and you're gonna buy the south side of the tree.
Okay.
So in that case, Zen no sein pay la atzmo, I have to give him pay on my side of the tree, and you have to give pay on your side of the tree, even though it's only one plant. This is a tremendous fetish, where it's one plant and it's chayev and two payos on two sides of the tree. Now, what's important here is, why did the Mishnah have to change the case? Why did the Mishnah start off with Yerusha? I could tell you the same case with Yerusha, right? Two brothers, they inherited a tree, and they decided, you know what? We could either be shutfim in the tree, or we could say, you know, you take north side of the tree, I'll take south side of the tree. Why couldn't the Mishnah have just simply said it that way? So there's a big foot.
By a Yerusha, it starts off as one person owning it. But by the buyer.
You mean two people owning it or one person? What do you mean?
No, the father owned it originally.
The father owned it originally, yeah.
So it's one payer kind of thing. Then when the sons inherit it, they're inheriting it, I guess, based still on what the father had, which was one unit.
The father is dead. And they inherited the tree, and the tree, let's say the tree had no fruit on it when they inherited it. Okay, so they're not inheriting a situation of peya. I want to keep it, like, let's keep it clean. They inherited a bare tree.
A clean tree.
A clean tree, right? So is that going to make a difference to you, Tzvi?
I guess not, because there was nothing there to be chayv and peya. So now... Now, we look at it, I guess, from when the stuff grows, according to what you're saying.
Exactly. So, but you're on the right track, though. There's a difference in that when the father died, both the brothers owned the tree together. Therefore, even if they split up subsequently, and one takes the north side and one takes the south side, Mefarshim explained, Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not give the case that the way he gives it by the purchase, because since they owned the tree together originally as Shukvim, therefore, even if they divide it up subsequently, you only have to give one payah on the whole tree. That's the dig that the Rush makes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had to say the case where it's Shnayim Shalothu Esei Ilon. That where originally Lokach Zeb Tzvono V'Zeh Dromo, each one is buying from the get-go, so there was never a time that they owned it together. So that's the big Kiddush over here. Okay, that's all what I just told you. It was in footnote 4 where it starts Rush Notes, all that, what I just told you. Okay. You can see there more if you're interested in this subject. Now we go a little further. Gemara. Chatzar chatzi sada b'shutfas. So now, we're partners. And we have a full field of wheat. And I cut down half the field while we're still partners. Right? V'cholku. And then we broke up our partnership in the middle of the harvest. Right? So now, this chalku is a special kind of chalku. When we broke it up, I took all the harvested wheat, and you took, the other person, I'm going to say you, and the other person took all the wheat that's still standing, all the kama. So we, again, so I have the harvested part, the other guy has the kama, right? So now, so you guys should be able, you know already enough from based on the halachas that you've learned. What was the rule? What was the rule with peya as far as when I started the harvest? When I started the harvest, where was I going to give the peya from? From what was still standing. But then after I cut my portion, we broke up. So now you can't give from your portion on my portion because we're two owners now. So what am I going to do? So the rule is, we had this before, and I'm just going to reiterate again, I'm potter from paying completely because there is no eitzah for this half. This half, when I cut, this is the way to remember the rule. If I cut the whole field down, so then we say, chazra peyli imurim, that the payah becomes obligation instead of the koma, it becomes an obligation in the imurim, in the sheaves, right? The stuff that was already cut. But that's where I cut the whole field down, and by cutting the whole field down, I was over the losaseh of losachal pas sodcha. So when you're over the losaseh, that's when the chi of payah switches from the koma to the imurim. But in this case, when I cut the first half of the field, there was still the other half of the field was standing. I wasn't over anything. All we did was we split up, and there's no issa d'oraisa to split up, but we don't have to remain partners. We split up. So there was never a losase, there was never an aveira. Since there was never an aveira, it's putter from peya. This is a legal loophole. It's putter from peya because there's no place to get peya from. This stuff that I cut was never obligated in peya. It's not tevel. And it only would have become obligated in Peah had I gone ahead and cut the rest of the half of the field. That's not possible anymore because the rest of the half of the field no longer belongs to me. So that's what it says over here. So let's read it inside the Gemara again. Chatzachatzi saw the Meshutfas. We cut the first half while we were partners. Lachoku. Then we divided the field, and you took the half that was standing, and I took the half that we had cut. Eino mafresh mishalo. I can't take the part from my side that was cut. Lo batchilo, not on the stuff that I harvested. Lo basof, nor on the stuff that's standing that you, the other guy, now owns, like we just explained. Now, 29b2. Now, you can't follow in the Hebrew because he changes the gears on the English side. So if you're only following in the Hebrew, it may sound a little confusing. So just listen closely. Chazru, and we get rid of the word v'holku. If, okay, because how do we leave it? We left it that we're continuing along with the case. I cut half while we were shutfim, then we broke up. Now, chazru, now we go back, we're going to become shutfim again. You haven't cut your other half. A week goes by. We decide, you know what, let's become shutfim again. V'kotru chatzi sada v'shutfis. The second half, they cut while they were shutfim. So now, the second half of the... Now, remember, they really weren't allowed to cut that whole field down. When we say here, they kotru chatzi sada v'shutfis, means they were over... They did an avera. V'cholku, and now they divided the crop. So mafresh mi shalo shebasof al chavero shebasof. Which means, looking at the second half of the field that we cut by avera, obviously that half was chayev and peah. And therefore, we both are obligated to give the peah. I can give my pay on the whole field, or you can, on the whole half of the field I'm talking about. The whole half of that field, or you could give pay on the whole half of the field, or we could give on each one of our portions, or I could give on the quarter that I own, you could give on the quarter that you own. That's 100% true. Avalomi shalo shabatchila al chaveo shabatchila. But I can't give the stuff that I originally cut down. That means the first half that I had cut, and then we broke up. So the second we broke up, that pay up, that stuff that we cut became putter from pay up. So therefore, it doesn't go, it never reverts back. Even though we chayzer v'nishtatev, what the Gemara is telling me here is that it never goes back again. All right? That's pretty much it. I don't want to go any further. This next case is another complicated case. I don't want to start the complicated case. So we'll start on Motzei Shabbos with Amar Bjerkanon on the bottom of Potesimon Beis. But it's very important to read. It's very important. One second, Joe. It's very important to read footnote 9 in its entirety. It's got a lot of important information there. I'm not going to go over it with you right now. Have a good evening, and thank you for joining me.
What time, Shlomo? What time are we learning Motzei Shabbos?
9:00.
I'm going to be falling asleep.
Well, I'm going to expect you to have taken a nice nap.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Next week, I'll be out in Fort Hood. So let me shut the recording. Hold on one second.